Thank you very much, and welcome back to all our Radio Entrepreneurs listeners. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and I'm the host of Radio Entrepreneurs, and we have a packed studio special show, and we are at the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart, and Rogers. That means my co-host is the one and the only Mark Furman. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Jeffrey. Great to be with you.
Thank you very much, and that means the fabulous Mark Z is in the corner watching over all of us from Mark Z Legal Staffing. Our next guest is Jeff Dretler, equity partner Rubin and Rudman. Hello.
Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Terrific, thanks.
Good. Do you want to talk to us a little bit about your practice before we get into the substantive discussion?
Sure. I'm a employment attorney on management side, which means that I represent businesses in helping them comply with the myriad of state, federal, and local employment laws that affect their workforces, and I defend employers when they get sued by employers for discrimination, breach of contract, wage and hour violations, and the like.
So what are the hot topics in the employment law area, Jeff?
Well, Mark, employment law has just been booming, as you've probably seen. Pick up any newspaper or radio, that there are so many new laws being passed on the state, federal, and local levels that are impacting the workplace. Also, we've got changing dynamics in the workplace, which makes it a challenge to fit old laws onto the new scheme. So what do I mean by that? Well, take, for example, here in Massachusetts, we now have coming out the Paid Family and Medical Leave Act. It was passed last year, and it's going to provide a paid leave of absence for employees for taking maternity leave or for serious illness. It's very similar to the Federal Family and Medical Leave Act, except that that federal act is unpaid unless the employer chooses to offer payment. But the state act mandates at least a portion of an employee's wages be paid during the leave, and that's coming into effect very soon. In fact, October 1st, employers need to start making deductions from payroll in order to support the pay that employees will ultimately get for this leave.
And are there disclosure requirements that employers have to notify employees?
Absolutely. In fact, they've been delayed, but again, employers need to provide certain notices to employees about the law. They need to put posters up in the places in their workplace where they put other similar posters about minimum wage and other wage and hour laws. They need to actually distribute information about the new law to employees so that they're aware of the law.
Is this another case where what employers don't know can hurt them because they're obligated to comply?
Yes.
Not knowing about the law is not a defense.
Absolutely. And what's going to be very tricky for employers is how to manage the interplay between and among the various leave laws that are already in place. For example, if you have an employee that is injured on the job and qualifies for workers' comp, and that employee perhaps goes out on short-term disability leave, and that employee also takes advantage of this new Paid Family and Medical Leave Act, where does the money come from? Does it come from workers' comp? Does it come from paid family and medical leave? Are there different protections? Do the leaves run concurrently? Can they be stacked? You know, what is the interplay there? It becomes very complicated for employers, even who, most of whom, in my experience, want to do the right thing and may not even know how.
If they're putting in a new policy, do you think it's advisable to an entrepreneur to have employees sign that they've seen it or received it, not just post it? Let's say you're a virtual company, because there's a lot of virtual companies out there.
Absolutely. Having a signature, even an electronic signature, which is very common and acceptable these days, is important, not just for this paid family and medical leave policy, but for any kind of policy, just so the employer can prove not only that it posted it somewhere or that it was available in a handbook, but that the employee actually acknowledged receipt of it. And that's a good question, lead-in, Jeff, to the whole idea of the changing workforce and how employers have to adapt. I mean, no longer is the entire workforce showing up at a particular location, you know, at 9 o'clock and leaving at 5 o'clock, and everybody, you know, goes down to the human resources office and can pull the handbook off the shelf. I mean, you've got what's referred to as the gig economy, right, where you have employer and remote work, where you have part-time employees, you have independent contractors, you have people working across the globe. And the company needs to find ways to reach those employees and have consistent policies as much as possible that still comply with the various differences in regulations across different jurisdictions.
I'm not looking to create a conflict and to have you own it, so I'll try to do this. And it goes back to what Mark said, you know, what an employer doesn't know could hurt them. I was working with a nonprofit last month that was using a contract HR company, and they were producing a new personnel manual, an employee manual, and the board of directors got in a fight over it. And they called me, and I said, I would be sending this to a labor attorney before you sign off on it, because the laws are changing so quickly. This is something that I've personally felt more comfortable with, you know, over the last couple of years, because I just don't think certain people are up to date on the laws the way attorneys are.
That's absolutely true. And I've, unfortunately, I have worked with companies who have personnel manuals or handbooks that are very out of date, and they haven't kept up with the changing laws. Sometimes a company may even have a red line draft of some manual that they started working on but never quite finished. And that's something which is very important to keep up to date, because the laws do change. And if a company is sued for violation of some kind of employment law, of which there are many, you can be sure that the plaintiff's attorney representing the employee, the first thing that person is going to do is ask the company to provide its policies and procedures on the subject. And if its policy is incorrect, it's very hard for the employer to show that it actually did comply with the law when perhaps its policy isn't even in compliance. The other thing is companies adopt sometimes practices that are inconsistent with what it says in their policy. And in a deposition or at trial, that can be a weak point for an employer as well. If they show they have a written policy that says one thing, but then witnesses testify that actually that's not the way it was done, and it hasn't been done that way for a long time.
Jeff, what services do you offer employers to help them stay out of trouble, you know, prevention being critical to a company?
One thing we do is we can do an audit, essentially an audit of employment compliance / HR, which involves a review of the handbook, updating if necessary, a review of how employees are classified, whether they're employees, independent contractors, are they exempt from minimum wage and overtime, are they non-exempt, are job descriptions up to date, and all those various types of issues. How, and especially right now in this era of Me Too, with increased focus on the elimination of sexual harassment in the workplace, companies better have very strong policies on against sexual harassment and increased abilities for employees to make complaints and for companies to investigate those complaints. If a company receives some kind of complaint and tries to just push it under the rug or ignore it, we know now from what's been in the news that is no longer acceptable. It never was, but now it's even less so.
You know, they're all intriguing topics, and I'm sure we could spend the whole day on them, so we hope you come back again, and that's why we appreciate the hosting by Tarla Reed Hart and Rogers. We're speaking with Jeff Drettler, equity partner Rubin and Rudman. If somebody's looking to learn more about these labor topics, how would they find you?
Oh, you can Google me, Jeff Drettler, Rubin and Rudman. Our firm has a website, www.rubinrudman.com. You can find my bio and our firm's practice areas there.
And I'll say, you know, personally, all the private companies that I consult with, they seem to be practicing human resource rules that are based upon some family narrative, not always necessarily what the law is. So I think it's good to check into these things.
Absolutely.
Good. And I want to thank Mark Furman again for hosting us and Mark Z watching over us. We're going to take a break and remind everyone this is Radio Entrepreneurs.